Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise again? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, from the depths of your soul. Oh, why don't you let a true worship roll out of your spirit? Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. What a joy it is to be back together with the people of God, to feel the presence of God. I don't want to ever get too comfortable with feeling His presence. Amen. I want it to be like new every time I feel His presence. And there is a miracle and a majesty in the presence of the Lord. You would think after all these years that many of us have come in and out of God's presence that it would kind of be old. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, the miracle is it's like freshness every time you feel it. It's like the first time all over again when God breathes across your soul, washes across your spirit. Amen. I'm so grateful for it and thankful for it today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to Matthew chapter 26. I want to say what an honor it is to be worshiping tonight with my aunt. I claim her as mine. Amen. Sister Betty Porter. Love her. And so good to see her here tonight. All the saints of God, God bless you. We salute you. We give honor to Pastor Crosswhite and his family, his wife, and their leadership. Thank you, Pastor, for the confidence, the invitation, the hospitality. Matthew chapter 26. Amen. Verse number 47. The Bible says, "And while he yet spake," this was Jesus talking with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." I want you to notice verse 54. Jesus has just asked Simon Peter a very pertinent question. Don't you think that I could ask, and in a moment of time, I could have 12, more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Amen. I want to preach for a few moments here tonight on those two words of Jesus. How then? How then? Amen. Would you pray and let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us in the continuation of this service tonight. God, I thank you for your presence that has been among us already in this house. I'm asking, Lord, that you would continue to move according to your purpose. I pray that the word of God would go forth into this place. I pray that you would accomplish the purpose of it being sent. Help us to hear the word of God. Help us to receive the word of God. But more than anything, help us to respond appropriately to the word of God tonight. And we're asking all these things in that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord another hand clap of appreciation before you're seated tonight. Amen. God bless you and please be seated. I have wrestled somewhat with the Holy Ghost here this evening and this afternoon to preach in this direction because I like to preach Sunday night preaching just like you like to hear Sunday night preaching. But the Holy Ghost won't turn me loose. So I'm just going to go in the direction that I feel the Holy Ghost would have for us tonight. Amen. Of course, we are in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the culmination of 33 years of Jesus' life have come down to this moment. If you will remember with me, you will remember that when Jesus entered or began to enter into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said that he was grieved in his spirit and that he was greatly distressed unto death. He came face to face with the reality and the moment that everything I was born for, the very purpose of my existence, is coming down to this moment. Do not think tonight that this was an easy journey for Jesus Christ. Though he was indeed God manifest in the flesh, the Bible very expressly tells us that he was a man that could feel our infirmities. He was touched with the same feelings, the same emotions, the same responses to the challenges of life. He was tempted, the Bible says, in all points, like as we are, tested and tried. But I'm thankful to report to you tonight that though he was tried and tempted in all points, he was yet without sin. Amen. He conquered what I could not conquer so that I could then be more than a conqueror. That's something you and I ought to give God appreciation for, that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. When I was unlovable, he loved me. And when I was hopeless, he extended hope towards me. Amen. This moment that life brought him to, it was not an easy trip for him. In fact, the Bible gives us descriptive terms and ideas of this very moment when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he left a portion of the disciples at the entrance, and he took Peter, James, and John and went a little farther and then said to them, "Stay here and watch with me while I go yonder to pray." And the Bible says that Jesus went about a stone's throw away and he fell upon the ground. The overwhelming feeling and emotion of what he was facing was settling upon him. Let me tell you tonight that Jesus wanted to live as much as any of us in this room want to live. He did not want to feel the pain of death like none of us want to feel the pain of death. He was a man of like passions. Amen. He was a man that understood the concepts of living and thriving and being fulfilled in his mission as the Christ, to heal, to deliver, to work the miraculous. But all the while, he understood that none of these things are really the ultimate purpose for my existence. But he understood from his baptism in the Jordan by John the Baptizer, for the next 3 years, he understood that he was on a mission to the cross. He was on a mission to death. He was on a mission to suffering the pains of the brutal treatment that we talked about this morning. And he knew this was his entire purpose for existing. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 12 that Jesus was in Jerusalem for the feast, and there were certain Greeks that had come to the festive time in Jerusalem, and they had heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and they had heard about the many miracles that this man named Jesus had performed. And so when they arrived, they begin to ask, "Where is this Jesus of Nazareth?" Eventually, someone brought them to Philip, one of his disciples, and they asked Philip, "We would see Jesus." And Philip takes them to Andrew, and Andrew brings the request to Jesus. And this is always how Jesus responds. Jesus never responds directly to the question that is presented to him. He never really gives people what they want. He always gives them what they need. He always tells them what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear. I wonder if there's anybody in the house that can testify to that. You come to God with a question. You come to God seeking direction, and God responds not with what you want to hear, but God responds with what we need to hear. And Jesus, being just days away from his crucifixion, he would answer Andrew and Philip and the Greek Jews that were standing there, and he would say, in essence, you want to see Jesus? You want to see some miracle that Jesus performs? Jesus answers them and says, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Oh, you're about to see more than you really expected. You're about to experience more than you could have ever imagined. There is something about to transpire that you really don't comprehend. Amen. This suffering of Christ, this moment for which he was destined. Are you with me tonight? Don't get lulled away by the sounds of the rain. I see the eyes already getting heavy. Amen. This moment in which Jesus was destined, this moment that he was purposed for, and he enters into the garden knowing that the Lord had spoken out of heaven. If we were to read on in John chapter 12, and Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. And a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified my name and will glorify it again. The things that I have already done are testimonies, as we have seen here tonight, of what God can do. But can I declare to you tonight that God is not near done? And can I get a little more personal with you here tonight? And can I tell you that God is not near done with you? If you're in this house tonight and there's breath in your body, God is not finished with you. There is still something more. Oh, I wish the Holy Ghost would help me here tonight to really preach this out and communicate it to you. There's another dimension yet. There's another place yet. There's another anointing yet. There's another experience that God has for every single one of us in this house. I don't want to just be satisfied with what God has already done. I recently heard an elder say, I preached an entire message off of this, and I'm not going to do that tonight, but I recently heard an elder say, and it struck me so powerfully and so deep. He said, I don't want to spend the rest of my life talking about what God used to do. Now that may not stir you like it stirs me. I thank God for the past. I thank God for what he's done, but I am not satisfied with just talking about what revival we had. I'm not satisfied with just talking about what I have felt and what I have experienced. I want to hunger for something more. I want to reach for something higher. I want to desire a fresh and greater anointing. Oh, stay with me tonight. I don't want to be the same preacher in 5 years from now that I am tonight. I want to grow. I want to expand. I want to reach. I want my roots to continue to go deeper. I want to see more of God. I want God to take me into greater dimensions. I want him still to get glory out of my life. I want to encourage. I got a lot to preach here tonight, but we may not get to all of it. I want to encourage an elder here tonight. This is something that's been in my spirit for the last several weeks. I thought I'd preached it out, but it's coming back tonight. I want to encourage a dear elder here tonight and tell you that you don't have to just sit around and say, my days are past. Can I tell you a word from heaven? If God still has you on this side of glory, he has you on this side of glory because the church still needs you. The church still needs your influence. The church still needs your prayers. The church still needs your voice. The church still needs your example. God's not done with you. Right. So Jesus understood that there was a glorification that was coming that had not yet been fulfilled in his life. And yet he knew what it would entail. He knew what it would require. And so when he fell on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane, the intensity of his human body reached a place of struggle so intense that the Bible says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. I don't want to be too heavy here tonight, but I have to preach out to you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. To get to the next dimension of glory that God has for us, it probably will require sweat, intensity, and even blood. We cannot get there just because we've had success in the past. We cannot get there just because we've had a move of God in the past. I have been privileged over the last 20 months to preach in regions of the United States that have in the past seen great visitations of the Holy Ghost, great revivals of the past. And Pastor Crosswhite, what has been beating in my heart is that God wants to revisit some of those same areas. It's not burnt over. It's not has been. It's not wasted. But there is a visitation of this generation that God wants to visit, and God wants to testify. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever he's done in the past, I declare into the atmosphere, he can do it again. But I must tell us that many times at the door of ultimate potential is the greatest struggle to quit. Even Jesus kneeling on all fours on the ground in the garden felt the overwhelming, and this is biblical terms, felt the overwhelming agony of what God was asking him to do. Oh, I may just be preaching to myself tonight. You might just get to hear me preach to me. He was overwhelmed with the agony of what was before him, and yet he knew that what was before him was actually the purpose for which he was born. None of the things he had yet done, they had all been prophesied and many things had been fulfilled, but none of those things that had yet been done were the ultimate. They were all leading him to the ultimate purpose of his existence. Woo! I wonder tonight who in this house, including myself, has not yet experienced your ultimate purpose for being alive. Now, I'm messing up another sermon, but I probably won't preach it here anyway. In that saint, you never done that before, have you? I just feel led to share this. In that same message that I preached about the elder who said, I don't want to spend the rest of my life talking about what used to be. The message that I had preached was born out of that and another statement that another elder I heard. I was privileged to be with him, 79 years old. I was privileged back in March to be in the country of the Philippines and Bohol Island with him, 79 years old, 60 years in ministry. And on a Friday afternoon, he was teaching pastors and their wives, ministers and their wives, not just pastors, ministers and their wives. 79 years old, 60 years of ministry. And he opened that session by saying, the lesson that I am going to teach to you today was first written 40 years ago in its original form. But this is what he said next. It just stirred my spirit. He said, it is my conviction. Now he is, if I told you his name, you'd know him. You'd know the name. But, I mean, he's not an overnighter. He's been around a while. And he's sitting at a desk on a rostrum in Bohol, Philippines. And he's teaching a group of about 100 pastors, ministers, and their wives. And he says, it is my conviction that today is the culmination of preparation that I have been in for 60 years. And that I was inspired 40 years ago to write this lesson, to bring me to this point today, that I might pour into you. My spirit, I lost track of the next few things that he had to say, which I've heard him teach the lesson many times, but I lost track because I'm over here thinking, my Lord, sometimes I get to feeling like I've seen my best days already. Sometimes I get to feeling like I probably had my greatest impact already. My greatest influence has already been seen. And the Holy Ghost said, let me tell you something. I could be preparing you right now for something you've never imagined in your life. Yes, I'm talking to you. You're sitting there saying, not me, preacher. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what my background is. You don't know what I struggle with in my insecurities and my inferiority. Yes, I'm talking to you. You probably cannot even imagine what God is preparing you for right now, to step into an anointing and an impact and an influence that could radically, oh, I know the spirits that I preach against. I know the dominating idea of the region I'm in, that it'll never be as good as it used to be. Well, I defy that and I say, hang around and let God take you where God wants to take you, and it could actually be better than it's ever been. It could actually be greater than it's ever been. It could actually be more powerful and more glorious. I believe it.
I mean, he's already raised the dead.
He's already turned the water to wine. He has done supernatural things, so much so that grown, robust, not wimpy sissy, but strong, robust men, not Renaissance depicted fishermen, but real men. Fill in all the lines in between. Hallelujah. Fishermen. Rough, crass, harsh fishermen have fallen at his feet and said, depart from me, for I am a sinner.
grown strong men have said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's already done those kinds of things. And yet, he is not yet to his ultimate purpose. And he's wrestling and he's in agony. I got to hurry on and just get to the point here tonight. Amen. And the Bible uses that word. Luke uses it. He uses that Greek term agony. Jesus was in agony. It's a Greek word picture of the wrestling matches of the Grecian strong men who would lock arm in arm and press one against another until one weakened and the other conquered. And it takes energy and it takes intensity and it takes intentionality and it takes focus and it takes commitment and it takes sticking with it. When you want to quit because it gets too intense, I could really just cut to the chase here tonight, though we'll back up and tell somebody you feel like you're in the greatest pressure of your life and you're wondering what in the world's going on. I've come tonight to tell you God's about to break through in your life and bring you in to a place you have never been before. I want to tell somebody tonight, the devil isn't greater today than he was yesterday. You're just closer to your potential. You're just closer to your anointing. You're just closer to your breakthrough. And he struggles. And even Jesus Christ says, if there's a way out of this, I'll take it. Father, if you would allow, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, could we go that route? But nevertheless, not my will. Thy will be done. And he got up and he went back to where the three disciples were and they were sleeping. I heard a man several years ago preach a message that was so powerful. He said, when the deliverer needs a deliverer and there's none to be found. Even Jesus in that moment just wanted one other human to stand with him. But they were disconnected. Oh, it would be easy to just say it's not worth the struggle because nobody else in the church seems to be aware of what's happening. It would be easy just to back out from the pressing of the Spirit in that moment because it seems like no one else is aware that something is transpiring. No one else seems to be sensitive to what God is trying to do. But Jesus understood that this is the moment that I was created for. And so he stands up to the moment. The betrayer comes, as our text read tonight. And he kisses Jesus with the kiss of betrayal. The disciples, when you read the synoptics and John's gospel, you can see the whole panoramic view of the evening. The disciples, not just Simon Peter, he was the leader, but not just him. They were all ready to fight. And they drew their swords. I want to tell you, this is another little message. Thank God for the times he saves us from ourselves. When we can abort the will and the purpose of God by an action that is unthought and we didn't really think it through. We just acted on emotion. Now, I'm going to tell you, Simon Peter was not so skilled that he was just trying to strike fear in the heart of Malchus and cut off his ear. He was headed for his neck. With full intention of cutting off his head. And Jesus said, hold on, I'm going to save you from yourself one more time, Simon, because you're not going to stop the will of God. I'm thankful for the times that God has stepped in and saved me from myself when I would have reacted wrong, when I would have responded wrong, when my actions would have produced a different outcome. God said, no, I'm going to save you from yourself because I've got a greater plan. I've got a greater purpose. They were ready to fight. But that fight was an earthly fight. It was simply, well, I'm telling you, it's working up a storm out there. It was simply a distraction. It was an earthly endeavor that was a distraction to the divine purpose. Right. Now, somebody needs to hear this part tonight because this is critical. It was a just fight. Are you hearing me? Thank you, Brother Crosswhite. He's listening. Well, I'm just going to stay right here for a minute because this is in prayer this afternoon. The Holy Ghost worked me over right here in this spot. This fight that Simon Peter wanted to lead, it was a just fight. They were taking an innocent man. No one would have judged them too harsh to fight for Jesus. Pilate himself would say of this man, I find no fault in him. It could have been justified as the right fight, and they drew their swords. And a revolution was at the precipice of starting. I got a feeling that a little man by the name of Simon Zelotes, all we know about him is he was a zealot. All we know about him is he was one of those guys that was looking for the first weakness in the Roman Empire, and he was going after it to bring them down. He believed in the earthly dimension of power and authority. I got a feeling he was right behind Simon Peter saying, come on, I've been waiting for this day my whole life. I've been waiting for this moment to take them out. I've been waiting for this moment to belittle the high priest that has put us into this situation. I've been waiting for this moment to go after these people that have lied on us and talked about us and tried to humiliate us. I've been waiting for this moment. I want to stress this to somebody here tonight. It was a just fight. Oh, help me, Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, friend, you may feel like that it's a just fight. You may feel like that putting eternal and divine things on hold to address this situation is justifiable because it needs to be handled. Man, I may be way out in the galaxy somewhere. But I'm going to set the record straight on this issue. And I'm going to take care of them picking on this innocent man. And Jesus said, put up your sword. This is not why I came. conquer this earthly fight is not why I came. Put your sword up, Simon. Don't you understand that if I wanted to start a revolution, I could call down more than 12 legions of angels, and they would wipe out and they would annihilate what these human beings are trying to do against me. But if I did that, how then? How's God going to work the rest of this? If I step in and try to justify and try to take things into my own hands, let me just tell you like I feel it here tonight. Somebody is on the verge of getting distracted on an earthly level from a divine calling. Somebody is right on the verge of getting distracted with what they said, and distracted with what they're mocking us for, and distracted with what they're unjustly saying, and getting distracted with the unjustness that seems. I keep coming back to that. It's so unjust. They don't have a right. They don't have a place. They don't even know what they're talking about. And if we're not careful, we'll get wrapped up in an earthly endeavor, and we'll miss the divine purpose that we are on the precipice of entering into. But if we get distracted, how then? Simon, if I let you do this, then how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? If I turn my attention to this, then how then am I going to break in to the next dimension that God is bringing me to, and God is bringing us to? If I get pulled away from the divine vision that's beating in my heart, how then? I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be a struggle. I know it's going to be unbearable at times to break through where I am into that next dimension. But I've just made up my mind. I'm going there. I'm not going to get distracted with what's going on around me. I'm going to keep my focus. I'm going to keep my attention, because I know there's going to be a moment. Yes. Father, what do you want me to say, Simon? Father, get this cup away from me. But I have come 33 years to this point. And if I miss this moment, I'm missing the entire purpose for my life. And people come to God and they get distracted with why is it important to repent. And they get distracted with why is it important to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they get distracted with why is it important with receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues. Well, my question is, how then are we going to go from death to life? How then are we going to be raised to newness in life? How then? My question is, if I don't follow through with the command and the request of God, how? now then. But it's not just true for the sinner. It's true for the saint. When God brings us to that next place that he wants us to step into, if we resist, how then? Seeing then, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that would so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he knew what was on the other side of the suffering. And so he endured the cross, despising, giving no thought to the shame, and is set down on the right hand of power and majesty. Can I tell you tonight, I know I've done a horrible job of communicating what I feel inside here tonight, but can I tell you tonight that there is something in the spirit world that is beckoning individuals within this house, that God has you on a divine destiny. God has you on a divine journey toward an intended purpose, and you are in a moment of great distress. You are in a moment of great pressure. You are in a moment of great agony over whether or not you can endure the process, over whether or not you can make it through the dimension that God is calling you to. And God has sent me on this Sunday night to preach to you, how then, if you don't go through this process, how you gonna get there? If you don't surrender and say, God, whatever you want of me, I'm willing to do it. How then? How then will it happen? Agony, distress. Hallelujah. Pressure. You know, it's been my experience many times when we get into situations of pressure, we look for the adversary. It has been my experience, and I just speak for me, that when I get into those moments of intense pressure, it's usually God, not the devil, pressing me into service. Jesus is on the way to Calvary, to Golgotha. And the Bible says that they met a man named Simon of Cyrene coming out of the country. And the King James Bible says that they beseeched him, or they, I forget what the King James word is, but another translation, the New American Standard, says that they pressed him into service. They pressed him to take the cross of Jesus. They didn't say, sir, would you mind doing this? No, they constrained him. They pressed him. They said, it doesn't matter what's on your schedule today. It doesn't matter what your agenda is. It doesn't matter what your plans are. All of that has just changed. You are now going to carry the cross of Jesus Christ. But don't worry, you've got two sons who are going to be in the gospel. You've got two. I don't have time to preach all that to you, but you can find it in the book of Mark, where Mark says, hey, these are his boys, and you all know them. You know why? Because when Simon of Cyrene was pressed into service, God said, I'm after your boys. That's who I'm after. I'm after reaching them. I'm after using them. I wonder what it is just beyond my struggle, just beyond your struggle, that you don't see and I don't see. But God says, come on, go through it. Come on, wrestle your way through it. Come on, submit yourself to it, because what's on the other side is glory. What's on the other side is revival. What's on the other side is anointing. I know I need to hurry. Man, I am so hung up on this right here. I got to visit it one more time. You're on the verge of being distracted with weakness. Paul said, I had great revelations. And with great revelations came a thorn in the flesh. I love the way Paul says this. You okay tonight? I know I'm doing a terrible injustice to the term evangelist here tonight, but that's just who I am. I pastored longer than I've evangelized, so there you go. In fact, Paul said, let me tell you what the thorn in the flesh was. God gave me a messenger of Satan. He gave it to me. There was given unto me a messenger of Satan. Now, there are some that say this was a spirit that showed up everywhere Paul went, that he had to press beyond every time he tried to get into the spirit and affect it. I don't know. I just know that's not something I want God to give me. And he said, I went to God three times. And finally God said, let me tell you something, Paul. My divine giftedness to you is enough for you to handle this messenger of Satan. Your Bible says it a little more poetically. My grace is sufficient for thee. Yes. Paul said, so I changed my tune. And I started saying, I will gladly, therefore, glory in my infirmities, for the power that rests upon me. I think I'll take the summit, the submission to the infirmity for the power. I think I'll take the struggle for the glory. For when I am weak, when I want to get distracted, when I want to be pulled aside, he is strong. And he says, come on, I've got more for you. Come on, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. There's glory that is set before. Come on, I'm reaching for somebody in this house. God's letting you know the struggle is your process. Stand with me tonight. Paul said to the church in Rome, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh. Now he goes on to say many other things, but I want to highlight that little word right there. We know that tribulations are working something. We know that the process at the point of breakthrough is great despair and great struggle and great pressure. But if we give in, how then could I preach to a young person here tonight? How then are you going to be anointed if you don't submit to what God's trying to do in your life? Could I present to a middle-aged individual here tonight? How then are you going to be what God wants you to be if you don't surrender to the process here tonight? Could I speak to an elder in respect here tonight? How then are you going to finish out life as a strong example if you don't stay in the process? Don't get distracted with the justified earthly battle, but understand I'm pressing my way through this because there's something to be fulfilled. There's a revival waiting to be born. There's an anointing waiting to come forth. Oh, there's a glory in your life that is waiting. How then, if I give up, if I turn aside now, if I get distracted with the earthly dimension, how then will the heavenly unfold? I admit I'm wrestling a bit tonight with where I'm at and what I'm feeling exactly. But there's two primary things that I know are thundering in my spirit. Number one, you're tempted with a justifiable earthly distraction. And number two, what's at risk is ultimate potential and purpose. It may be a move to another city for a job opportunity. Whoo! I know I'm in treacherous territory, but it may be the greatest career opportunity you've ever had. And yet there's no eternal attachment to it. And you're wrestling, you're struggling by getting distracted. Now look, you submit to the man of God in your life. You follow his guidance and his leading. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm just here to try to point something out to you tonight. Make sure before you get involved in any earthly justified action that it's not jeopardizing a divine potential. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes, this is biblical and this is experience, both. Sometimes when a divine opportunity and potential is passed on, don't come back around the rest of life. Just ask the Jews who died in the wilderness. And sometimes I have seen God in his mercy bring people back full circle and offer another opportunity. It may not be what it was initially, but its purpose, its fulfillment. Man, I have no idea why I'm on all this. But I want to tell you what's more important than that justifiable earthly distraction is divine purpose. Every eye closed. Come on, this is. I mean, I'm talking about potentially decisions that are just within days. Just within days. And the back and the forth. And the back and the forth. You know, there's a little phrase, and I know I got to quit here and let us respond to the Holy Ghost. There's a little phrase in Luke chapter 13 that I have always been drawn to in the story of what we have called the prodigal. It's a little phrase that says, not many days hence. Which means there was a time lapse between when he received his inheritance and when he left the Father's house. Which means that he wasn't completely convinced yet about the earthly distraction. He kept vacillating between what he had at Father's house, at Daddy's house, and what the earth was offering him, and what he had at Daddy's house, and the fullness of potential for what it means to be a son, and all that that offers, and what the world's system and what the world's potential was offering him. And in that battle, in that struggle, he vacillated. And I sense a little bit of that here in someone tonight. That vacillation, but this potential, this opportunity, it might not come back around. Oh, help me, Jesus. And yet God, and I want to be very careful because I know this gets messy. And when you get to seeing things in the spirit, sometimes you see a conglomeration of things that don't all show clearly. But I sense in the Holy Ghost that God has you on location for divine potential. Doesn't mean you'll remain in place forever, but it means for the next dimension of growth, you are in place for that divine potential. Don't get distracted, because how then will that divine potential come to fruition if you get sidetracked with justifiable earthly distractions? Come on, would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Come on, sir. You feel justified in what you're about to do. But the Holy Ghost has just sent you a little warning tonight. Hey, make sure that you're not jeopardizing divine potential and purpose in your life. Your battle can be justified. Your distraction can have earthly value. But does it really contribute to the divine potential and purpose in your life? Come on, I know there are people already responding, but I wonder all over this house. Could you respond? Come on, Simon, we could fight this battle right here. Come on, Simon, I could call down legions from heaven and we could win this revolution right here. It's justifiable. But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? If I usurp the potential and purpose of my very being, what good will that do? What good will that do? Come on, let me tell somebody here tonight, if you'll surrender to the divine purpose, God will take care of the justified earthly circumstance. God will make sure that is taken care of. God will make sure. How about it tonight, young man? How about it tonight, young lady? How about it tonight, family? How about it tonight, church? Would you just say, God, all over again, here I am. I surrender to your purpose. I surrender to your potential in my life, that divine work, that divine calling for which you have brought me into the kingdom for such a time as this. Come on, all over this house where it's appropriate, why don't you help one another? Why don't you link up? Why don't you pray together? Why don't you let the strength of the entirety of the body flow one to another right now, all across this house, all across the congregation.
Hold fast.
Way
hard. Fear not.
How then?
Stay strong.
If you step out of purpose, how then?
Keep on.
Come on.
Keep on.
Endure.
Be brave.
Step through that struggle. Step through that agony. Endure for a moment. For weeping is only for a night. But joy. Joy.
Keep on and be.
Come on, that's it. Pray one for another right now.
Fear not.
How about it tonight, friend? How then will you fulfill God's purpose in your life? Why don't you submit to Him tonight? Why don't you surrender your life to Him tonight in repentance? Oh, why don't you surrender your life to Him tonight? Willing to say, God, whatever it is you have for me, if it's to be buried in baptism in water in Jesus' name, I'm willing to obey. If it's to surrender to the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I obey. Because how then can God's full purpose and potential be done in my life? Come on, minister one to another tonight. Let the Holy Ghost
and be brave.